Y'all bow with me.
Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. We thank you for the cooler weather. We thank you for the peace the Sabbath day brings, Father. As I begin to speak, Father, I pray that you guide my words and that anything that is not from you fall away unnoticed, Father, and that it be edifying to this body, that it can encourage them and let them just understand the importance of the joy that we have in you. And we just give you thanks and praise, honor and glory and love in Yahshua's perfect name. Hallelujah. So I wanted to give a message on joy. I know Pastor Randy gave a message on the fruits of the Spirit a while back, but you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, going back and looking over something. And I think joy is something that a little bit overlooked. And remaining joyful is something that's a little easier for some people than others. You're going to come across people who always seem to be positive, pretty much no matter what's going on. And a lot of times they don't let anything bother them. And those people are, to remain joyful in the face of adversity is a challenge. And again, I feel joy is an undervalued trait. When we think of great men and great women, we tend to highlight things like bravery, courage, intelligence, wisdom, love, faith, and rightfully so. Those are all wonderful, wonderful things. But joy is something else. It doesn't fill the same gaps as other traits. In fact, I think that it's unique in the role it plays in our lives, and that's what I want to explore with you here today. Just to get it out of the way, I've been recovering from you probably heard, man, who's that guy coughing back there? That's me. I'm trying to just getting over a cold, and it is hanging on for dear life. So just keep me in prayer for that. And so one of the things I want to differentiate between is joy and happiness. Sometimes I think we kind of blend them together. The line gets a little blurry between joy and happiness, but they are entirely different. Now, they can go hand in hand, but they are entirely different things. There is a big difference. The exact number of times joy is mentioned in the Bible varies on the version you're reading. Some Bible scholars suggest that it appears 430 times. Others imply it shows up 224 times. I've read both. One of the things that contributes to the difference in the count is the use of joyful, joy, and rejoice. Compared with happy or happiness, that word appears only 10 times in the scriptures. So what's the difference? If they're synonymous, you'd think that number count wouldn't be quite so stark. The main difference between joy and happiness is that joy can share a space with other emotions. Anger, fear, sadness. You can be joyful and still share those emotions. Happiness cannot. Joy sets up camp in our hearts while happiness is often just passing. Happiness is fleeting and joy is foundational. Happiness is not inherently bad. I don't want you to think that if you see somebody's having a good day, you're shame on them. No, happiness is good. Happiness is great. But happiness is not the goal, especially of a believer. And there's a simple reason for that, and it's permanence. Happiness is not permanent. And especially in this walk, in this life, in this physical body that we have, happiness is temporary, always. Joy is permanence. To be happy is fine, but that shouldn't be confused. Like, when you're joyful, you know it. Happiness is something, I mean, you see people struggle with it all the time. There's an article from compassion.com, What is the Difference Between Joy and Happiness? And it reads, joy is also not great happiness or even extreme happiness. It is not elation, jubilation, or exhilaration. Emotions that may be present with joy that may seem like an expression of joy, but which don't define joy. In its truest expression, joy transforms difficult times into blessings and turns heartache into gratitude. Joy brings meaning to life. It brings life to life. When the scriptures remind us to be joyful or to rejoice, it's a reminder that we're not seeking after fleeting moments. We're seeking true joy, purpose, and meaning, things that you can cling to permanently, a hope that you can cling to permanently. To be joyful in our walk is to be joyful in our obedience, in our giving, in our forgiveness, in our suffering. The way we're walking is just that. It's narrow, it's hard. Sometimes it's steep. But we're to walk it with joy. A joy that reflects the hope we have for walking that path. Like, why are we walking the narrow way? Why are we doing it? The reason you're on the narrow way, same reason for the joy that you should have through the trials and through the tribulations. Happiness cannot provide these things. I wonder if Yeshua was happy when he was being flogged. Or if Paul or the other apostles were happy when they were persecuted. I doubt it. But you read through some of the things that Paul said. You know, how many times did you shipwrecked and stoned and stuff? But he counted it all. Hey, it's all part of it. They're all on that narrow way, right? When we understand Yahweh's ways, his commandments, his love for his people, we can clearly see that Yahweh wants something. He wants his people to be holy, not happy. Now again, that's not to say that you can't be happy. You can. Those things will happen. We will find some happiness in this walk. I mean, the feast is coming up. That makes me happy. But that's tied hand in hand with the joy. And sometimes you just have a good day. That's fine. But holiness is the priority, not happiness. And this is contrary to what we see taught in the majority, I would say the majority of churches today, especially in this country. Oh, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be all of these things. Oh, that's what he wants. He wants a happy people. He wants a holy people, a set apart people. We have to have joy through the trials we face. And a lot of times we are going to see suffering or experience suffering, and then we are going to assume it is because we are doing something wrong. And I believe due to the nature of man and the way we've been raised and everything in this, not just this country, but in the world, we've been conditioned to believe that if we are in the midst of a trial or suffering at all, it is because we have made it to Yahweh's bad side. And that certainly can be true. We've got several examples of that in Scripture. We have to remain joyful in these situations. If it turns out you were in the wrong, rejoice. Because you can repent and you can move forward. If you aren't in the wrong, rejoice. Yahweh's testing you and he's pulling you through the fire. It's a win-win. If you're joyful and you're wrong, good. Because that joy will carry you through to repentance. If you're joyful and you're right, good. It'll carry you through the trials. It's a win-win. You can't lose when you're joyful. That's the best part about it. James chapter 1. I think it's James 1. I can't remember when. I wrote it down wrong. Anyway, chapter 2, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, and whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So again, if you're facing trials, whether you are being tried because you're being punished or whether you're being tried to just test your resolve, your joy should remain unwavering. You have a reason to be joyful. If you're being punished, and you have a reason to be joyful if you're not. Over in Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. How long, O Yahweh, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Yahweh my Elohim. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing Yahweh's praise, for he has been good to me. This doesn't sound like the musings of a person who's having a very good time. It doesn't sound like the musings of a happy person. But they are ultimately joyful. They are rejoicing in Yahweh's salvation while the enemies are rejoicing at our downfall. They think, I've got him. I've got him. I've nailed him. There's nothing they can do now. We have joy that there's going to come a time when whatever they're happy about, whatever they're joyful about, is not going to matter. Because we rejoice in Yahweh's salvation. No matter what this life could ever throw at us, we must remain joyful in the hope that there's something much greater awaiting. Even when we're surrounded, mocked, ridiculed, or even killed, we have to remain focused on the hope and embrace that joy that it brings. If it wasn't for the joy of Yahweh's salvation, if it wasn't for the joy that we have in Yahshua's hope, going through these trials would be much, much harder, if not impossible. There's a reason why joy is mentioned right after love in Galatians, right? And I'll touch on that in a minute. Another key is that we have to help each other. We have to reciprocate that joy to keep it alive. Galatians 5. Told you it was coming up. 5:22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And again, I think joy often gets brushed over in this. The importance of joy cannot be overstated. It's pivotal for us as believers to be joyful, because not only does it allow us to face adversity and trials with a positive outlook, joy is like an alternator in a car. It's what keeps the body charged. It's what keeps it, everything, the ability to get up and go on. I mean, we all in this room probably know somebody that suffers with depression. Depression is a real, it's anti-joy. Depression has a permanence like joy. It's the opposite of joy. But when you spread joy, title of the sermon, when you spread joy around, that directly combats that sadness, that depression, that hopelessness that people have. While we're all plugging away through our various trials, everybody's got their own life and their trials and tribulations. But when we gather together in situations like the Sabbath, it's important that this is a joyous occasion. Even when something horrible has happened and we as a group are mourning the loss of somebody we love, a brother or a sister, it's important that we remain joyful, even when it's hard. And it's only going to get worse. If we can't remain joyful now, we aren't going to stand a chance when things actually fall apart. And I believe joy is what makes the walk on the narrow way even tolerable for us. Have you ever known somebody who's they call it a killjoy, right? Person that just sucks all the energy out of the room. A joyful believer, I believe a killjoy is something that is dangerous. Somebody who maybe doesn't have the same hope, or they doubt in their heart. You know, somebody who comes here to sow discord. They don't believe, they struggle with their belief. And, you know, that's a real struggle for people. I understand that. But a joyful believer helps give focus to the promises that Yahweh gives his people. The ability to recognize a trial and a tribulation for what they are is so important. They're fleeting. Trials, everything we face in this life is so fleeting. The trials we face, the tribulations we face. To be able to recognize that as the case is so important. To be able to say, hey, I know it's bad, but it's going to get better. I know there's something better at the end of this. I have that hope. To remain joyful in that is so powerful. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 21. in the recognition of trials and tribulations. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of Elohim to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of Elohim. So being joyful is not just about having a smile on your face. It's about being warm to a brother who's cold. And I really, really love the way that it's written here. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. So even, oh, it's going to get better. It's like, yeah, it's going to get a lot better. It's not even close. The trials we're facing are nothing compared to the joy we, not just what's coming, but to what we have already, to what we have now, today. We have hope in what's to come, obviously, but we can be joyful now. We have every reason to be. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in Yahweh always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Yahweh is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to Elohim, and the peace of Elohim, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Messiah Yeshua. Rejoice in Yahweh always. And it repeats it twice. Whenever Scripture repeats something twice, pay attention. If you do these things, if you do rejoice, if you rejoice in Yahweh always, and you are not anxious, but in every situation you give prayer and petition with thanksgiving, what will happen? The peace of Elohim will guard your hearts and minds in Yeshua, in the Messiah. So when you are joyful in every situation, when you really just... yeah, I could be having a bad day, but I'm going to be joyful in this day. This is the day that Yahweh has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? Yahweh made every day, including the bad ones. And so you have a choice. I should have had the choice to rejoice. That would have been perfect. Get that on a shirt. Do you know anyone that has a contagious laugh? Have you ever been in a room full of people? And it doesn't matter what's being talked about. You're on the other side of the room and you hear this person laugh, and immediately the attention is on that person. And everybody just stops what they're doing and they're just smiling. It doesn't matter what's actually being talked about. They could be laughing at you for all you know. But the fact that they're laughing, some people just have that contagious laugh. And I think everybody's experienced it at least. It should be evident to everyone around you that you are just, that you're locked into this, that we all are. You know, Scripture talks about in the end, there's going to be those people who crawl, they're going to be hiding in the mountains. They're going to be like, oh, fall on us. So that we don't. I don't want this fall on us. I can't stand, I can't look at the Lamb, I can't handle it. And we're not to be anxious about anything, good or bad. Don't be anxious about the coming of Yeshua. He's going to come when he's going to get here when he gets here. We have to let the joy we have in Yahweh through Yeshua permeate everything in our life. When we do, again, it says in verse 7 there, the peace of Elohim which transcends all understanding. So it's a peace that you can't explain. How on earth are you still joyful in this situation? How are you doing it? Well, it'll make sense to you because you got it. He gave it to you. The peace that comes from Yahweh will permeate everything in your life. And people are going to wonder, why isn't this person freaking out? It's because your hearts are being guarded by Yeshua. It's wonderful. The joy that we are supposed to have in the face of adversity, in the face of trials and tribulation, it's not just important for you. But your joy could make the trials and tribulation of someone else easier. And I think that might be the most important aspect. It's not just, like when you wake up and you're having a great day, that's great. But if your brother's having a bad day, you got to share a little bit of that joy as much as you can. Imagine finding out that you're having a great day and you didn't say something when you thought you should have to a brother or sister, then you found out that something horrible happened to them. It's like, man, I wish I just would have shared, would have checked on them or something. And that leads me to my next point. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5, or chapter 1, verse, 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Yeshua and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to them and placed the child among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So in this regard, we're to be like children. And what are children if not joyful? I mean, they're just walking little bags of joy like everywhere. They're endlessly joyful and they're quick to forgive. How many times have you seen just the kids here run around, get into a scrape, and they're mad at each other? Ooh, this could be the end. And then 2 minutes later, they're back at it again, like it never happened, right? I mean, I think I've seen that happen with like every kid here at least a couple times, probably this week. It happens all the time. They don't let it get them down. All is forgiven, and they're back to loving and playing again. And this is how we ought to be. And it says something else that's interesting here. Whoever takes the lowly position as this child. A child is subject to his parents. Authority, guidance, correction, all of those things. But they're joyous, all the same. Now, last time the boss said, "Hey, come into my office." And that's not always super joyful. You know what I mean? It's really hard to be joyful, especially in a world that is so... Joy is absent. What they consider joy is just... 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Again, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is Elohim's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. So if you ever wonder, man, I just don't know. I wonder what Yahweh's will is for me. It's right there. Rejoice always. Hard time? Try giving thanks to Yahweh. Rejoice. And I believe I'm starting to see a pattern here. The pattern is there's a refusal to give in to despair. A refusal to give the enemy a win. Even at our lowest, if we retain the joy that we talked about, the joy that we have of the Father in heaven is to be joyful in prayer and giving thanks in all circumstances. That's a powerful thing. You can walk forward with that when things are getting hard. Just remember... Remember what it said when it says, where was it? Essentially, the peace that you have that transcends understanding. That's what I want on my side. I know that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Praise be to the Elohim of our Father and of our Master, Yeshua Messiah. In his great mercy, he has given new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by Elohim's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, And these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in a praise and honor when Yeshua Messiah is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So is joy important? Yes. Joy is tied to your salvation right there. Why is it? Why? It's the joy is salvation. It's the fact that you've got salvation. That's your joy. And I love verse 8. Even though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with that inexpressible and glorious joy. So even though he's not standing physically in the room with us right now, even though that's not the case, again, people are going to be wondering, what is wrong with this person? Why aren't they sad and depressed? He's going through all these trials and tribulations. Life is so hard for him or for her. Why isn't he down? This is why. There's nothing you can experience in this life that can take this away unless you let it. The joy we carry, and this is all tied into Yeshua. It's inseparable from the Messiah. The joy we carry as a result of Yeshua is going to be seen the world over when he is revealed. The world is going to be in a very dark and very bad place by the time he arrives. But think about that. Think about what the world who doesn't know is going to be going through their heads when they see him coming in on the clouds. What are they going to be thinking? It's not going to be what we're thinking, that's for sure. I can tell you it won't. The electricity, I don't mean like what's keeping the lights on, but I mean like the energy of Yahweh's people right here is going to be in a totally different place when that happens than what the world is going to be thinking. Some of us for generations. It has to be joy. It's inexpressible. The world is going to be losing their collective minds, and we are going to be, this will be the best day ever. I mean, we'll be just praising Yahweh. How could it be anything else? We have every reason to be joyful. We have the Sabbath day. We have brethren all over the world watching. We have the feast coming up. We have so much to be happy for, joyful for. I mean, the world's falling down around us. You don't have to look very far to see that. But I think that this is one of the reasons why it's so important to observe the Sabbath. Even if you're by yourself, even if you're far away, you're alone. Observe the Sabbath, the feast days, as best you possibly can. Because you want to have that joy in your heart. You got to have that joy in your heart. And I know it's hard to be by yourself. I get it. But that joy is not just for, you know, joy is not to be contained in this room. This is something that we're to share with the world as best we possibly can. Romans 15, 8 through 13. For I tell you, the Messiah has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of Elohim's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, the Gentiles might glorify Elohim for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise Yahweh, all you Gentiles, and let the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. Excuse me. May the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's something interesting. Not just Yahweh's people. To those people who say, who wonder who the promise is for, it's right here. In the nations, in him, the Gentiles will hope. Yeshua gave hope. Hallelujah for that. But there is a tie, a direct connection between being joyful and having peace. Being joyful and having peace. They mesh perfectly. If you want peace, you might want to look at being a little bit more joyful in your life. I promise you, it will help. It will help. I'm going to read James 1, 2 and verse 3 again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I look at joy sort of like a filter. The enemy bombards us with the fiery darts. We all know about the fiery darts of the adversary, right? But when you have that pure joy that we're talking about right now, you can see these attempts on our salvation for what they are. These trials and temptations should be used to refine our resolve. And I also want to address that. I think a lot of times, again, people look at trials and temptations. Trials and temptations have been kind of demonized. People look at if somebody's going through something, it's just like, you know, the neighbors looking across the lawn at somebody who's lost someone, or they're going through, it seems to be trial after trial, and they're thinking, man, they must have done something wrong to the man upstairs. Look at Job. Job never did anything wrong to the man upstairs, but he persevered. He had trial after trial after trial. His family was telling him, oh, curse Yahweh and die. Just let it go. Without the joy we have in Messiah, these trials and temptations could very easily be more than we could bear. If it wasn't for that hope right here that we just talked about up in Romans 15, the hope that the Gentiles have. I mean, verse 13 calls them the Elohim of hope, for crying out loud. If it wasn't for that, imagine if we didn't have what we're looking forward to, if we don't have what we have in this room today, imagine where we would be when those trials and temptations come. Man's answer is to medicate. Drug them up. If you're brain dead, if you're chemically brain dead, then you can't be sad. That sounds great. Not. We have to have that joyous mindset. Otherwise, there's no reason to resist the trials that come your way. Something bad comes along, something a little inconvenient comes along, you're going to go with it. If you've got no higher authority to stand on, you're going to bend to the will of the enemy. It will happen. 100% of the time, it will. Turn me over to Proverbs 17:22. It's really short. Whoops. There we go. A cheerful or joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You know, there are countless studies out there that show that the people that tend to have a more positive outlook on life are just in general healthier people. I mean, I don't know about you, but when Yahweh sends a trial my way and I'm hit hard, it is exhausting being sad, being depressed, being down on just being beaten down. It's exhausting. Even if nothing physically happened to you, if you're just going through something, let's say, for example, my father, he was in bad health for a while and it was exhausting. I was in great health. But that wasn't the point. It was just seeing that. It'll drain you. And that's why it says here, a crushed spirit dries up the bones. It'll kill you. It will. Here's a few quotes from the medical field that I found interesting from a doctor, Francois Adon. It says, experts agree a one-time booster shot, not like a jab, But a one-time booster shot, whether a funny movie or a piece of good news, isn't likely to make a lasting difference. For that, there must be a mindset shift, Adan said. It requires discipline, practicing positivity, and the intention of seeking what is right and journaling about it. We know that it is something essential, she said. Oops, I'm sorry. I need to get to the page, not flip that one. Adan recommends practicing random acts of kindness and staying connected with the ones you love to keep your spirits high. If people can find even small ways to increase their ability to see the world in a more positive way, that can be very beneficial to their health. And so again, Dr. Francois Adan. And I have the URL up on the screen if anybody wants to read that article. But I find that very, very interesting. And look at the things she recommends to just kick that up a notch, right? Oh, go try random acts of kindness. What are we called to do? What does Yeshua call his people to do? Right? If you see someone in need, help them. The people can be random, I suppose, but we have purpose behind our acts of kindness, right? We're commanded to do these things. Staying connected with the ones you love. We just had the Sabbath family. Don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is, right? She doesn't even know. She's telling people to obey what's written in the scriptures. She has no clue, I assume. Knowing what you know about Yeshua and the common salvation that we share through him, what is your worldview like? How do you picture things out there? How do you look at the increasing wickedness building up day by day? Do you sometimes read the news, see what's going on, and do you find yourself like angsty, anxious, fatigued, angry? I'm not saying you shouldn't keep up with what's going on. I think it's important to be a watchman on the wall. But I also think it's good to remember to see the forest through the trees, to be able to look at this and still retain that joy. If you're ever in a position where you're watching the news or you're doing something or the world around you is just crazy, if you're ever in a position to where you have to abandon your joy, even for a minute, it's not worth it. Stop doing what you're doing. It's not worth it. Or do you look out there and see past what's coming, or past what's there to see what's coming for Yahweh's people? Most of the world sees joy and happiness as a simple chemical imbalance in the brain. But Dr. Adan, like I just quoted, they're right on something. They are absolutely 100% right on something. It requires work and a mind shift. You can't continue doing things the same way and expect it to change. That's the definition of insanity. But that's a lot easier to do when you have something to shift your mind to. That's the problem with the world. That's why they're stuck where they're at. They don't have anything other than angst, anxiety, pain. They don't have any hope. They don't have anything to lock their focus to. So there's a huge advantage there. Over in Psalm 118, 20 through 24. This is the gate of Yahweh, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Yahweh has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yahweh has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. That's the difference between here and out there. It's a short psalm. I want to read Psalm 16 really quickly with you. And I believe it is a beautiful testimony of David's hope and the joy that he shared in Yahweh. And if you want a lesson in joy, read about David. Some people probably wish he wasn't quite so joyful half the time. Psalm 16. I forgot I didn't put it up there. Naturally. That's right, I know where it's at. Preserve me, O El, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto Yahweh, thou art Yahweh, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another mighty one. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Yahweh is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless Yahweh who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set Yahweh always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy ones to see corruption. Wilt thou show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are there pleasures forevermore. So, you know, David, he saw the wickedness mounting up around him. I mean, this was a long time ago, too. And it's only been multiplied. But you saw, he saw the hope. He saw what was ahead of him. And the key there is Yahweh was always before him. And just keep that in mind when you're struggling. I got one more scripture for you. John 15, 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, right there, Yeshua told you, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Well, what was his joy? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. He told us to obey his Father. And he shared his joy with us so that our joy may be complete. And as I said earlier, being joyous requires practice. It requires a heart change. And Yeshua gives us this beautiful verse to remind us of this. Our joy has to be with purpose. That's the thing. Joy is always tied to a reason. And, you know, our reason is Yeshua. It's Yahweh. That's our reason for our joy. And it's to be a light. Our faith and our joy needs to be contagious. And it needs to be to affect anybody that sees it and hears it, is around it. It needs to be just, you could feel it. So I pray that Yahweh has given you some insight on joy and its importance. And I pray that if you're struggling, that's what we're here for, is for each other. And if you're having trouble, if you're facing trials and tribulation, just remember, you have something to be hopeful for. Nothing, and I mean nothing, that could possibly happen in any circumstance in this life could ever be greater than the joy that you have in Yeshua. So hallelujah, we have a baptism today. Speaking of spreading the joy, praise Yahweh for that. I'm going to call Elder Randy up, and we're going to get on with the baptism. So Yahweh bless you, thank you for your attention, and we'll see you next time.